good team. I mean, some of their numbers aren't even that great this year, but they're trending in the right direction. Obviously, their power play is still the box. Top six, heavy, play well off the rush, real good in net, and experience. They've been doing it for a long time. They've been winning for a long time.
There we have a little from head coach Mike Babcock. We've heard a lot from him in the first hour of Hockey Nation. We welcome you back to hour number two. Gord Stellick, Todd Alusco, Air Canada Centre, of course, Hockey Nation. We take a look at all that's going on around the National Hockey League. Nine games going on tonight. We will focus in on the Toronto Maple Leafs battle against the Washington Capitals. Tonight, all the action here on Sportsnet. 590 The Fan, Jarmo Kekäläinen should be joining us shortly, the general manager for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Okay, we got him right now, so let's do that before we talk about the Leafs and the Capitals. How are you, Jarmo?
Doing well. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm good. Well, last year you told me in March that you played the draft simulator all the time. So are you going to miss it this year?
We're just a quarter of a way in, so I'm not making any predictions yet, but I'm hoping to miss it for sure.
Good. Yeah, I don't want to. I realize that. I don't want to jinx things, but I mean, last year you want to be in that spot where you're not looking at it and being one of those 16 teams that aren't involved in the lottery. Nice turnaround, and I think a great thing, and I know talked to John Davidson a couple of times, you had a great finish the year before, and then last year just things just got off on the wrong foot, and you've got to identify what really was still right but just didn't happen, and then what needed to be tinkered with. And how did you go about that process?
Well, I think we really badly underachieved last year. Obviously, that's documented. You know, I think we have a much better, or we had a much better team last year, too. We weren't the 27th best team in the league. I don't believe that for one second. So right from the start, we knew we were better, but the start 0-8 that we had for the year, obviously, was almost impossible to recover from, and we didn't. So young players getting better. I think we're, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky being real good on his own level again this year. I think our defense has quite drastically changed the way they move the puck up the ice with the newcomer Zach Werenski and Seth Jones now being with a whole year with our team, and Ryan Murray being a year older again, and Marcus Nutivaara coming in quite nicely as a rookie as well. So I think those are probably the biggest differences. Our special team's been very good. Coaches have done a great job. So all together, those probably have resulted in a good start. But again, we're just 20 games in, so lots of hockey to be played, and challenge is still ahead.
Yeah, well, it's kind of amazing what a year has done for Nick Foligno. I mean, last year he's named team captain, signs a long-term deal, and doesn't have the best year, a great start to that being named the captain and getting the contract. Then he comes back, he's focused, he's recharged, and he's a big reason why this Columbus team is 11-5-3 right now, leading the team in scoring. Was it a case of maybe too much expectations out of himself last year and putting too much pressure on him, and now he comes back to camp this year, comes back to the beginning of the season, saying, hey, I just got to relax and play the way that I know I can play?
Yeah, I think we had a lot of conversations with Nick during the year and the offseason, and he'd probably be the best person to answer this question anyways, but I know that he takes a lot of pride. He works extremely hard. Was very honored to be the captain last year. When we went 0-8, I think that he put all the weight of the world on his shoulders. Probably a little bit too much, but I guess it's, again, it's impossible to say exactly what went wrong with this season. But again, he was, on an individual level, we knew that he is much better than what he had to show last year. He had a tremendous year the year before where he earned his contract. And now he's off to a great start. He had a great offseason. He really took it as a challenge to get back to his level, and he has so far, and he's been a leader that we expected him to be.
We talked about Austin Matthews here. He hadn't scored in 10 games, for example, but he'd been playing well, had the confidence of the coach, and got two goals the other night. And it's funny, like, Nick Foligno is scoring the way Boone Jenner did last year, and Boone Jenner now is scoring the way Nick Foligno did last year. So as you talk about Nick Foligno, Boone Jenner not getting the goals, is that concerning you, or is Boone Jenner just playing well and it's going to come?
It doesn't really concern me. Boone is such a hardworking player. He's always working, grinding, and doing things right, playing the right way. The goals are going to come. Last year, you know, a lot of things were going in. A lot of things were going right on an individual level for him, and he got 30 goals. If he doesn't get to 30 goals this year, that doesn't concern me either. We talk about doing things right every day here, trying to get better every day. It's a process with the young team, and Boone's a big part of it. He's our assistant captain. He does things the right way every day, getting better, and his best years are ahead. So I try not to look at the statistics and goals and assists and all the other advanced stats that we have nowadays too closely when we're evaluating the player. I want to see them doing everything right every day to get better and do their part as a member of the team.
Yeah, well, Gordon and I had the opportunity to cover the World Cup of Hockey here in Toronto for the radio side of things. And, I mean, I'm sure if we asked John Tortorella, he would have said that he's already forgot about the World Cup and everything that went with it. I mean, obviously, the lack of success that Team USA had. He was front and center and everyone was questioning him. Do you think there was maybe a little bit of extra motivation for John Tortorella? And, you know, you got to be happy for him and your organization that Columbus has come out to a nice start to the season.
Absolutely. I think he's a very good coach. And anybody who's worked with him closely and you talk to him, they really respect his coaching abilities, the way he approaches the game, the hard he works, how he prepares, all those things, the things that sometimes get him in the hot water are not really coaching related. They're related to how he, as we say about the players, how he does things off the ice more than what he does with the team. So, you know, I really enjoyed working with him, and he's got a personality and he's got a lot of passion for the game. Those are the things that we're always looking for. He's been great to work with. So I'm really happy for him. You know, his coaching skills hadn't gone anywhere during the World Cup or before the World Cup. And I think he was really hungry to prove himself with our team and still is. And he's a very driven coach. But the one thing that's really impressed me about him is that some people think that he might be old school or this and that. But he's always looking for new things and for ways to improve. Yeah. So he's not as old school as some people might think. He's actually... a guy who's got a very open mind and always looking to get better.
Well, touching on that, I mean, I got to agree. As a former player, I love the fact when the coaches could recognize that maybe something wasn't working. And, John Tortorella has come out and said, we're not going to have any pregame skates right now. I think that right now we don't need to overcoach these kids, let them stay away. How is that, is that a big change for you? Are you a firm believer of letting this guy run with things in terms of not having these guys coming in for pregame skates and giving them the morning off?
Yeah, I think those are coaching decisions, and he's got a lot of experience. Obviously, some of it is the schedule that we're going through right now. For example, we're playing six games in 9 nights, I believe, and you know, there's not really any room or time or energy for practice in between. And I think that individually, players on this level, they know how they need to prepare. So the ice is there. If somebody needs to come and take a few shots or get in their skates and the equipment the morning of the game, they can. But most guys preserve their energy and they're fresh and ready to go in the evening.
Jeremy Kekalainen, general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets, joining Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko, Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Another guy, I had a chance to interview him, Alex Wennberg. And what a nice evolution he's been. It's funny, he has those numbers now that he's, kind of like a Ryan Getzlaff. Bigger on assists than goals, but his last year in playing overseas, he had something like, 25 goals and 4 assists or something. The reverse, he can't figure it out that way as far as it goes. But talk about a guy like that and getting to the next level, because maybe it's like Nazem Kadri here. You know, a guy gets to a certain level, and the key to kick in that next gear.
Yeah, it's a process with these young players. You got to be patient. I'm sure you've heard that word enough, and we're sick and tired of saying it sometimes, but that's what it takes. He's still very young. He's getting better, but he's also one of those guys that had a real good offseason. He's a lot bigger, a lot stronger this year. He's more confident as a result. We always want him to shoot more. He's kind of driving us nuts every once in a while for always looking to pass. The puck is very good at it, but I think the passing lanes will open a little more if he's a little bit more of a threat to shoot. So that's one of the things that we've been emphasizing with Alex. He's been a big part of the success of our power play so far. He's great on the half wall. got a real good vision and patience and poise with the puck. But I think that he there's yet another level where he can get to just by getting stronger, getting a little more assertive in the dirty areas to score goals. And sometimes, especially with the European players, it takes a while to understand how hard you have to work to score goals in the National Hockey League.
Guillermo, you know, on the back end side of things, I mean, we talked a little bit about how Sergei Bobrovsky has played so well for you guys this year in Toronto. Anderson has been playing the bulk of the games. Enroth has got a couple here and there. Is it a concern that maybe Bobrovsky has played as much as he has, or is this just a situation of this is a young guy, we'll monitor what he's doing, but right now we're going to go with the hot hand and we're going to play him as long as we can? You know, even Curtis Macklin, he's had 3 games so far, but is that a concern that Bobrovsky's maybe playing a little too much right now?
Well, we're trying to keep it real. A real close eye on it as a staff with the coaching staff and the training staff and the strength and conditioning side. Bob's an unbelievable athlete, the way he prepares himself, and I think he has a very good feel for his own body as well. So we're communicating with him to make sure that he doesn't get overworked. And but so far it's been good, and he loves to play, he loves to win. And he's been back on his level where he can be, and he's been a big part of our success.
Your power play, like, is number one by a significant margin. Just as we talked about Alex Wennberg, he's tied for the lead with 9 power play assists, and maybe like 4 points above the second place team, which at the quarter pole, I mean, that's a pretty significant gap there. Like, how has it all come together?
Well, like I said, the coaching staff, I think, has done a great job with it. Brad Larson runs the power play, and he's done a very good job preparing the team for it. But I think the biggest difference is number 8, Zach Werenski. I've always been a big believer that that a good power play starts from the blue line, the guy moving across and having a shot for a threat from the blue line, and then being able to make passes and stay patient. And he's all of those things. He's got great lateral movement. He's got a great wrist shot that he can put through on with a great percentage. And he can make plays. He sees the whole ice, and he's got very good poise and patience on that blue line. So I think he's probably the biggest difference from last year's power play. And we saw him operate that power play in Cleveland at the end of the year when the team won the American League Championship. So basically, coming into this year, we knew that unless something happens where he's not ready mentally, he's going to run our power play. And he has, and there's never been a... he's just taken over, and it's been very, very simple. And as a 19-year-old guy, you just always kind of have to rub your eyes and go. It's amazing what he's been able to do at that age to just take over our power play, and he's been very, very good.
Yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this. I played with a lot of Finns in the past, and I love the people of Finland. Obviously, that's your descent. Is there any surprise on how well young guys of Laine, Aho, and Puljujärvi have done so well? Did these guys surprise you at all at how well they fit into the NHL this year so far?
No, not at all. They're some of the best young talent that's come out of our country for a long, long time. And I was able to get to know Aho and Laine quite a bit at the World Cup and see how mature they were off the ice as well, but on the ice, the poise and patience and the self-confidence that they displayed in among the best players in the world in the World Cup. And you know, I didn't know Sebastian Aho that closely, but I was really impressed with his ability to think the game. I didn't have much doubt that he's going to have a smooth transition to the NHL.
Well, I'll tell you one last one, just since you met Patrick Laine. And maybe you're talking earlier about the Zach Werenski experiment. Is that a big reason Pierre-Luc Dubois deciding that he's better off in junior for another year to develop? Was that your mindset from the word go? I mean, what went into that decision?
Well, every player's different. Some of them come into the league as a 20-year-old, and they play for 15 years or 20 years. And same with Selanne. Came into the National Hockey League as a 22-year-old and had a pretty good career. So, you know, they all got to go at their own pace, and their play and their actions show if they're ready or not. And, And we felt that the best place for him to develop right now was just going back to junior and playing big minutes and hopefully playing in the World Junior Tournament and see where he's at next year. He's physically very close to being ready to play in the National Hockey League, but sometimes it's just the level of play, the pace of the game, and the having the right type of confidence at that age is difficult. I mean, you see that. Dylan Strome got sent back to junior, and he's going to be a tremendous player for Arizona for years to come, but they all do it at their own pace, and I don't think you can rush it. And we felt that was the right decision for Pierre-Luc Dubois at this time. And we love him as a prospect, and I think he's going to be a big part of our future.
Well, you certainly hit on it last year. You hit it on your American Hockey League team winning the Calder Cup Championship, and you're hitting on it so far on the ice. Big win. That was a nice win against Tampa Bay. I know you have Florida again tonight. Hey, always appreciate it. Thanks very much for dropping by, Yarmo.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yarmo Kekäläinen, general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets, joining Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko, and Hockey Nation.
He's just one of the good guys. And you know what? I meant that when I said it about the Finnish players. I played with a lot of Finnish players. I've been coached by a few overseas and stuff. They're just good guys and good hockey people. And, you know, he's a big part of why those three guys that we talked about, Aho, Laine, and Puljujärvi, are what they are. The development program in Finland is fantastic. And that such a small nation to pump out that type of quality players year in and year out is pretty impressive.
Well, what the Columbus Blue Jackets have done is, in a lot of ways, if you want to use a comparable with the Toronto Maple Leafs, is they had an improvement 2 years ago, but then a big step back. And that's what you really have to avoid. Whatever you do, you want it to be incremental each year. And that's what the Buffalo Sabres have to guard against this season after a significant improvement. So that's why when people ask me about what you expect or would hope for the Toronto Maple Leafs as a Leaf observer, as a Leaf fan, it would be whatever it may be, not so much a number, but that is a real stride. And then you don't have, because that was so disappointing for Columbus last year, to have all the optimism, a phenomenal finish, fell short of the playoffs the year before, and then the word go, you have an 82-game season that really is a nightmare.
Well, what was it? Was it 2013? It was Colorado, the same thing. The Avalanche did the same thing. They come in, they have that great run, they get in the playoffs, and the next thing, you know, Patrick Roy's rookie season as a head coach. Next, the expectations were great. They did fantastic, and then the next year they come back and they haven't been back to the playoffs since. So you're right, you've got to stay away from that formula. It's great to get in, but again, the key for Toronto and other clubs that are trying to get in is to get in, and they want to have the formula that the Detroit Red Wings have had for the past 20-something years. Let's get in, 25 years, let's get in, and let's stay in. And that's what everyone wants to strive to be. It's not easy to get there. You've got to follow a plan. And I think those are the things you got to be careful with when trades come up, not to deviate from your plan that's going to give you that sustainability for years to come.
Well, I think as well, you look at the Red Wings, they're going to be tested a little bit to keep that up this season, even though they won last night against New Jersey in overtime. But it's going to be a bit more of a battle to keep at it that way. As far as it goes, that particular record. Some of the other notes around the NHL. Boy, you know, the Nashville Predators, and you just think for a little while ago, wondering about, you know, the P.K. Subban and Shea Weber trade. Montreal, we know what they've been doing. Nashville 8-2-2 in the month of November, getting their mojo going. But some injuries now. James Neal, Ryan Ellis, Colton Sissons out for the next two games. So that'll be the challenge like it is for anybody else regarding that. And the big one, Jonathan Toews, second straight game, he won't be in the Chicago Blackhawk lineup as well.
Yeah, that's going to hurt them. I mean, anytime that you get one of the best players in the league not playing on a regular basis, that's going to hurt you. So two games out for Jonathan Toews. They're hoping that it's just something minor and this is kind of another maintenance day. But anytime that you're missing two games back-to-back and you are the superstar of your team, him and Kane, it's a bit of a concern for Chicago.
Brad Marchand, who... the guy you love to cheer against, but here at Air Canada Centre, the guy we love to watch as a member of Team Canada briefly, playing phenomenal on that line with Sidney Crosby and Patrice Bergeron, injured in practice. Hmm. So he taking an Adam McQuaid shot off the knee. No update after, so we'll find out. You don't like guys getting hurt in general. You especially don't like them getting hurt in practice. He's got 18 points in 21 games, so we'll try to get word for that. They are missing. I don't care what people say about Zdeno Chara, if he's too old, if he's too whatever. He's still too Zdeno, and he's missed two games with an upper body injury, and they miss him.
Well, that guy just takes up space, regardless if you think he's too slow or he can't get there anymore. the bottom line is the guy's 7 feet on skates, and it takes up a lot of room, and it's very intimidating. If you're even if you're on the ice and he's on the bench, you know that that big monster could come over any time and really put a hurting on you if he wanted to. So, yeah, and the leadership qualities, obviously, he's been there forever. He's been their captain. And when you don't have your captain in the lineup, it's going to hurt.
Charles Hudon's only played 3 games this year for the Montreal Canadiens, so you're looking to get some ice time in that. And what happens, he gets hurt in practice. Just as I said, it's the last thing you want. Out indefinitely, a fractured sternum, taking a shot off the chest.
Yeah. You know, and that's
probably Shea Weber's. I don't know.
Well, you know what the worst part of that, too, is if, like, you talked about Adam McQuaid taking a shot and hitting Marchand. The worst is if you're that depth guy or that third or fourth line guy or a fifth or sixth defenseman, and you take out one of your superstars. The coach is just, like, shaking his head. He's like, you got to be kidding me. No, recognize who's in front. I know you got to practice like it's a game. But those types of things you want to make sure, especially when there's guys in front, keep the shots on the ice. You don't have to try to pound it through anybody. It's a practice. And I know, again, you can't take it easy in practices, but you have to know who's in front of the net when you're taking shots. That's the worst way to get injured, is when it's one of your own teammates and it's in practice and you're taking heaters off the chest. That's not the way to go.
Well, years ago in a practice in Windsor when the Leafs were playing Detroit, I was with them, a guy named Bill Kitchen, passed away a few years ago, brother of Mike. He was up. He played about 20 games, and it was a Jim Benning shot in practice that broke his jaw.
Yeah.
And never played again at the NHL level. Just those kind of things that way. We will, when we come back, and a reminder, don't forget our buddy Scott Oak. He joins us quite a bit after hours tonight after the Canucks home against the Colorado Avalanche. He'll have Nathan MacKinnon on after hours. We're back at it. We'll count down to the Leafs and Capitals. Hockey Nation continues with Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, live from Air Canada Center on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Is our business. This is Leafs Nation pregame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back, Air Canada Center. We get set for tonight's battle between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Washington Capitals. We welcome you to Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Always an exciting time when Alexander Ovechkin and the Capitals come to town. The Maple Leafs trying to avoid for losing 4 consecutive games for the second time this season. And we'll chat about that. We'll hear from Mike Babcock. We'll hear from Morgan Riley. But our man Chris Johnston joining us in studio here at Air Canada Center to get things going.
Hey, before you jump into that, did you just see Mitch Marner on the big screen walk? They showed him walking in from the back.
High-fiving the other Capital players?
Yeah, but no. But did that. But, man, he looks like he's 14 years old. Like, he looks like he's an underage going into the OHL coming to the – I can't believe how young the kid looks. But he's playing like he's a seasoned veteran, a superstar for about 10 years. It's crazy to think about how young that kid actually is and what he's been doing. Anyways.
It's a kid's world after all, isn't it, Chris?
In today's NHL, it is. It's and especially around the Leafs. I mean, pretty cool first quarter of the season we've seen here. With already the team has more points from its rookies, almost twice as many as it had in the whole season last year, just in 20 games. And, you know, with so many of the big moments, I guess, already, the most memorable moments is, you know, some of the Marner games. Obviously, Matthews on opening night, even Matthews in the first period there in New Jersey this week. So, you know, I think that the windows have been open and there's a lot of fresh air blowing through here these days.
Well, you know something, and it may sound a little bit corny, and Todd, I don't know if you've experienced it or not, but again, back in the 80s when we had a bunch of young guys, Iafrady, Courtnell, Lehman, Thomas, you know, you name it.
McGill.
Bobby McGill, that's right, Kenny Raggett. A guy like Dan Hodgson was there for a while, Todd Gill. I mean, I used to like the pizzazz they had, just seeing them at the airport and stuff. Like, all of a sudden, you know, you've been losing then, so you might as well build with the young guys. On the ice, it's trials and tribulations, but off the ice, you kind of like the piss and vinegar that they had and just kind of the fun and whatever, and not the jaded veterans, a lot of them, that don't like losing and are fearing their jobs ending and that. I'm not anywhere near as close to this team day-to-day, but I get a sense of that, as Todd mentioned. You see Marner just a little bit when this toxic environment of 2 years ago is almost done a 180.
Well, and there's still, what, probably 20 buildings in the league they haven't been to yet. Lots of cities they've never visited. Everything is new and fun. I mean, I think that in some ways when you talk about a sophomore slump in sports or in hockey specifically, you really what you're talking about, I think it's just when when you're new, it's just easy to have that energy and that enthusiasm, and it starts to feel more like a job the more you get into it, and it is one. Let's face it, these guys, there's high stakes here for them. They make very good money, and as we've seen, if you don't hold your carry of the freight, you know, you're going to play for the Marlies, like, as we saw Brooks Like and Colin Greening and Milan Mihalik today playing this afternoon at the ACC in the afternoon game. So there is, you know, realities to it. But, you know, in that first year, I just feel like it's everything is just roses, even if you aren't winning as many games as you'd like.
And, you know, and Mike Babcock talks about the fact of a long grind for these young guys and stuff. But, you know, I just look back at experience of when I played and the guys that I played with. We came in with a bunch of young guys. I don't think that's going to happen to this group of guys. Like, I mean, it is a long grind for some of the guys that aren't used to it. But we talked about Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews. They've all played a lot of games. I mean, the grind of the 82-game schedule is a big thing. But I think that with this amount of youth and energy, I can't see these guys that being a major factor. I think it's just it's going to help them with their development, playing as many games as they can in as many nights as they do. I think that it's the opposite. I think it's going to improve their game, and I think they're going to get better faster because of the long grind.
Well, and this focus isn't on any one of them. I mean, I guess Austin Matthews gets it more than anyone, just being a number one pick, and obviously a lot of discussion there when he went 13 games without a goal. And, you know, so he's always kind of going to be in that spotlight. But I think there's room for a Connor Brown to Nikita Zaitsev, who's an older rookie, but guys that aren't really getting under the heat lamp every day,
yeah,
that they, you know, that they're not going to have maybe that same mental challenge. I think, you know, we shouldn't, to be the best, to ever be picked number one, you have to be able to handle that. But, you know, it's a lot every single day. It's just, you know, it's like you're tapping on Austin's shoulder, you know, the media and you know, I'm sure fans when he's out in the city. I mean,
I think he's living the dream. I think he enjoys this, though. Like, I mean, this has been his passion, his life to get to this point. I don't, as your first year, yeah, there's a lot of overwhelming things that can happen in Toronto, but he seems like he's got the personality that can handle this, and I think it's a, you know, it's a great fit for him here in Toronto. He seems to be embracing it.
Well, and the cool thing for him, he's literally the only rookie centerman that's playing top six in the whole league right now.
Yeah.
There's only a handful of other guys. A lot of the natural centers have been moved to the wing by their teams, which is normal. You even see that with William Nylander here with the Leafs. There's a guy, Devin Shore, playing for Dallas, who's, you know, more of a bottom six centerman. But, you know, he's doing something no one else in the league essentially is. And, you know, I think all that considered, he's handled himself tremendously. And, you know, he's already one of the team's best players, even at this age. And you know, I can only see him getting better here as he gets more comfortable.
Yeah, I mentioned years ago, Vinny Domfus' rookie year, he started center and struggled, got eaten up by Steve Yzerman one game, and we moved him to the wing, and that's where he stayed. Playing center is a tough animal to learn. I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize that as a rookie center for Austin Matthews. Now, meanwhile, just looking at our colleagues here at Hockey Night in Canada, first of all, Elliot Friedman, Nick Kyprios look like they're auditioning for the Jersey Boys or something right now. They got the new haircuts just up there. But the other one was Elliot was pointing out last five games, Alexander Ovechkin's played 15 minutes or under. He'd only played that 18 times in 11 years. And so a little bit different strategy for the Washington Capitals. But if we talk to Craig Laughlin, the President's Trophy team, I mean, their standards are a little bit different. He doesn't think they've been playing their best hockey.
No, they haven't. And, you know, I think they're trying to do some things differently this year. And one of them is really spreading the ice time around. Barry Trotz, you know, expects his team, we all do, to be in the playoffs and to potentially go on a long run there. And he wants to, you know, try to reduce any feeling of burnout, especially among his top guys. And that's why you see Ovechkin where he is. Look, I think he's still at 11 or 12 goals. So it hasn't hurt him too much. And you know, but there's a feeling of sort of, even though they haven't had a lot of turnover there, there's a bit of unsettledness to the way this team is. And they're constantly juggling their lines. It's a good thing to follow the Caps beat writers on Twitter because there's new lines every day. It's like they got the blender going. The total opposite of what we had at the Leafs, where really it's been almost consistent through all 20 games, especially at forward, a little bit more jumbled up on the defense pairs. But, you know, I still feel good about where they are. I think that they're a team that could get it together and win a Stanley Cup. But, you know, they're searching for something right now, and that's a good thing to say because they're still second in their division, so they're not exactly struggling by any measure.
Well, Chris, with Ovechkin's goal count being down a little bit, also his ice time is too. He was a little bit, I think he was over 19, 20 minutes, or close to 20 minutes last year. He's around 15 minutes a game right now, and I'm just wondering, is that kind of a plan, obviously, by Barry Trotz to say, listen, we're going to keep you fresh throughout the entire year because you know, for these guys, it's not about winning the President's Trophy. It's about going deep in the playoffs and, as you just said, winning a Stanley Cup. Is this a plan that he's got right now? We're going to take back the minutes, so when it does come playoff time, you're not going to run out of gas.
Yeah, and, you know, they're still winning games. I think that's important to underline. He hasn't needed to be double-shifting him or you know, putting him out there for crazy numbers. And, you know, I think that Ovechkin will be back where you usually expect. You know, it's funny. I was looking today at the top of the league, and Connor McDavid right now and Sidney Crosby both have the exact same points per game, 1.27. But McDavid's averaging about 2.5 minutes more a night than Sidney Crosby. And you know, I think even as well-conditioned athletes and they're still younger guys, you have to be mindful of not, you know, putting too much wear on a 30-year-old guy's body. So I think that there's... That's part of the plan, certainly in Washington. This isn't, it's not because he's been playing poorly. I think it's a design strategy to try to spread around, I guess, the ice time here more in Washington.
And they also have, sorry, Gord, they also have the fact that their back end has only got 3 goals this year. And I'm wondering if that's got a lot of it to do where Barry Trotz is like, listen, let's take care of our back end. I don't need you guys jumping into plays. I don't need as much offense from you. Keep the puck out of our own net. And I believe they're third in the league in that department. And let's take care of the offensive side of things. So maybe the back end and creating that much offense isn't what Barry Trotz wants that much this year. Defense wins championships, and maybe that's the thought process.
Yeah, well, they had their eyes open last year against Pittsburgh because that season went so great for them. I don't believe they lost two in a row all year until they got to the playoffs last year. And you know, obviously winning the President's Trophy, lots of big numbers for all the big players. I mean, everything was great. And the minute they found a little bit of rough road in the second round, that series was over before they knew it. And, you know, I think that they want a little bit more chaos, if you will, around this thing. I mean, you can't orchestrate that. I mean, but, you know, I wonder if on some level all the line juggling that Barry's done this season has been done just to not get anyone too settled and too comfortable. And, you know, clearly this is the one thing we should note about this team. They got a lot of guys to sign this summer. And there's probably not going to be room for them all. So this is going to be their last best chance, I think, to win for a little while. I mean, we'll see what kind of retinkering Brian McClellan, their GM, can do in the summer. But, you know, this is definitely the last time this group, as it's composed, gets to run at it. It's almost the same team exactly as last year. And, you know, I do think that they have a chance to win it. It's all about for them peaking at the right time.
And I guess last thing, you know, about our colleagues, I think Elliot Friedman's hair looks better than Christine Simpson's tonight. I got to tell you, that new thing, just looking at all the people involved.
He's got the Ace Ventura look
going
on.
Yeah, that's no slight to Christine. I mean, that is going to be tough. So, I mean, as much as we encourage you to listen to us on radio if you get a chance, he's got the fashion going tonight. Hey, Leafs try not to lose 4 games in a row. And, boy, there were really some noticeable gaffes with a 3-0 lead. And I know talking to Mike Babcock and that, okay, it's fine to have fun, but this is the kind of stuff. You got to play hard every second you're out there, and you got to play smart. And you got to play when you got a 3-0 lead like you have a 3-0 lead.
Well, and Mike had some tough words for Morgan Riley, actually, I thought, this morning after the skate, just about how they need him to be their number one every night, not running around so much, playing well away from the puck. Positionally, you know, Morgan found himself on the wrong side of some highlights in New Jersey. If you're watching, you know, some of the plays where he wasn't able to prevent a goal. And, you know, that was a tough game for Leafs. I was looking today back, guys. To me, they've given away conservatively 4 to 5 points with some tough third periods that they've had this year. You know, the opening night in Ottawa was a game they should have won. They were up 4-0 in Winnipeg and lost in overtime. They blew a late lead to Chicago and got a point in the shootout but didn't get two. Obviously, the game in New Jersey, they could have got 2 points. And you know, they're really focused on the playoffs, and they've kind of been their own worst enemy in some ways. So it'd be very interesting to see what goes on with this blue line. I think we all recognize that ultimately it's going to need some improvement. But, you know, Mike Babcock's putting a lot of heat on those guys, and especially someone like Morgan Riley, that he's got to step up and you know, I guess lead a little bit better because he's the most skilled player they have back there.
Chris, hey, thanks as always. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game. We'll catch you later.
Look forward to it.
Chris Johnson, our man from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, joining us here at Air Canada Centre. We'll come back. We'll hear from Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock. We'll continue to set up tonight's battle between the Toronto Maple Leafs and Washington Capitals. You're listening to Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stelic, Todd Olushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
In Toronto, wearing the Leaf isn't something we take lightly. Leafs Nation knows it, and so does Molson Canadian. It takes commitment, passion, and sacrifice, because you can only be ready after giving it everything you've got. And now, we're giving fans of the Blue and White a chance to win tickets to the NHL Centennial Classic with every purchase of participating 12-pack tall cans at the beer store. Molson Canadian, proud partner of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Must be legal drinking age. No purchase necessary. Visit MolsonCanadian.ca for contest details.
With all-wheel drive, AccuraWatch driver assist features, heated seats, and remote engine starter available on most Acura models. This season, you just need to worry about where you're going to go and not what the weather's like. This is the season of performance. Step up to an Acura today and take advantage of a $2,500 cash rebate towards 2017 RDX models, including a $1,000 holiday bonus. Visit AcuraGTA.ca or your local dealer for details. Acura. Precision. Crafted. Performance.
Did you know that Ontario's low-cost nuclear and hydroelectric generating stations already provide one of the lowest carbon emission electricity systems in the world? They also supply 80% of Ontario's electricity and tens of thousands of good Ontario jobs. Learn more at pwu.ca. From the people who help keep the lights on. The Power Workers Union.
We'll give you the before and after picture. It starts here with Leafs Nation pregame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stelic, Todd Olushko. Fun chatting with guys like Craig Lachlan, Joe Beninati, the Washington Capitol crew. Matt Brown pointing out their sharp dressed men.
Yeah, he was.
As he tries to get me to tuck my shirt in. So, whatever, different standards.
Well, no, he was telling them they should pick up their game so they match us. That's what he was saying, right? So.
That is it. Well, we'll find out what Mike Babcock has to say as the Leafs get set to take on the Washington Capitals tonight. Here he is, Mike Babcock.
How are you guys?
Mike, what sort of challenge the Capitals try tonight?
Well, they're good. Good team. I mean, some of their numbers aren't even that great this year, but they're trending in the right direction. Obviously, their power play, we've got to stay out of the box. Top six, heavy, and play well off the rush. Real good in net and experience. They've been doing it for a long time. They've been winning for a long time. Sometimes when you're the coach of teams like this, you're not even playing that great in a regular season, but they also know what's coming. But they're a good team, and it's evident with the record.
When you look at their power play, what does it take on the penalty kill to shut that down?
Discipline, stay in the box.
Mike, could Sash help you on the power players and just fill it in there?
No, we're just looking. That group hasn't been as effective, and so we're just looking to see what's available for us. And so the other thing that happened with Marinson not being in the lineup every night, Sidestep's killing way more. So that's part of it as well. And then, you know, over a period of time, 20 games, it gives you a chance to analyze kind of what's gone on and see if this can help us.
Where does Ovechkin rank for you among the great goal scorers you've seen personally?
Well, he's pretty good. I mean, that's a great question. Sure, I had a little time to think about this one. Guys that jump out of me, and since I've been watching, obviously, I mean, Gretzky wasn't bad. He could score the odd goal, and then Slaney wasn't bad either. Who else scores? Curry wasn't bad.
Awesome.
Yeah, he wasn't bad either. Who else is there?
Mary
Fleur. Pardon
me?
Yeah, more off the rush kind of thing. Like, it's more of a rush game like that.
Mario.
Yeah, he was good too. Good answers.
Mike, 20 games in, are you noticing the teams are starting to play any differently?
I don't know about that. I think what I noticed most is right up to the start, the league's loose. It's gotten tighter already. Attention to detail is a must every night in the league because the games are that tight. We're 4 points out after 20 games. You know, when I looked at the standings today, yesterday, I think we were 3 or something like that. You know, like, it's just, you got to find a way to win every night. And you can't give up goals in the end and win. Like, this thing about getting 6 a night, 4, and then you're going to win like that, not going to happen. So, got to learn to play well without the puck, and you got to learn to play heavy in the offensive zone and spend time in there, or you're spending too much time in your own zone. So, this next 20 is going to tell us a lot about our team. We got to be in the hunt after the next 20. So, a big 5-game segment for us right now.
In your first 20, your D pairings moved around a bit. Are you still searching for something with that group?
Yeah. You know, lots of things. We need Riley to be our number one guy. every night. We need him to be very good for us. And that's not racing around the rink. That's playing without the puck and being a real good player. So we need that to happen. We need the growth of Saitsov to continue to take place. I think Gardner's been excellent through this last while. Someone's got to decide who wants to be five and who wants to be six kind of thing, or who wants to be four or four, five, and six. We got to get that all figured out. It's up to them.
Thanks, man.
Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock, Gord Stellick, Todd Aluso getting set on Leafs Nation pregame. And you know, Chris Johnson mentioned he had some words for Morgan Riley. A little bit of challenges. The kid gloves are not on all the time so much as they were last year. And certainly the New Jersey Devil game, when you have a 3-0 lead, whether you're playing select hockey as a 10-year-old or in the NHL, there's minimums, so there's ways you have to go about protecting that lead that kind of fell apart.
Well, yeah, and you know, you talk about kid gloves. I like that reference. But here's the thing about Morgan Riley. If you're not – the thing that I didn't like from coaches, if they weren't giving me a hard time or weren't challenging me to be better, it meant that they don't want me to be part of their organization. So the fact that he is on Morgan Riley and he expects more out of him and he's vocal about it, I think is a good thing. He likes him. He knows that he can be a number one guy for this team as the future goes on. So you've got to put the onus on him. You got to challenge him. And I think Morgan Riley will respond.
Well, just William Nylander finding out, Nick Kiprios reporting he's out of the lineup, upper body injury. Okay. So that'll be one of the moves tonight that we'll try to find out a little bit more about.
But so Peter Holland's probably in.
We will come back with our keys to victory. Love to hear those. Todd Aluso's keys to victory, courtesy of our Ford dealers. That's coming up next. And we'll count down the final minutes, get you set. And hopefully not so much news, but more like William Nylander being out of the lineup, as we heard, get you set for the game tonight between the Toronto Maple Leafs and Washington Capitals. You're listening to Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stellick, Todd Aluso with you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Warm up for the game with Leafs Nation pregame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stellick, Todd Aluso on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Leafs Radio Network. I love the new, instead of the Kiss Cam here, they've got the Oblivious Cam. And they time how long until a couple of people are on it. So this was 23 seconds for a couple of gentlemen immersed. Looks like a father and son in their
just on their iPhones buried. I know.
Anyway, that works as a one-off that way. Well, you want to be paying a little bit more attention, whoever you may be, on the ice tonight. And you want to pay attention now because it is our Ford dealers keys to victory. Time for the keys to victory, brought to you by your Toronto area Ford dealers. At your Toronto area Ford dealers, they deliver undisputed Black Friday value from November 17th to 28th. Get $8,000 Black Friday cash on most new 2016 F-150 models. Details at findyourford.ca.
Okay.
Todd Aluso, what are your keys to victory?
Well, first of all, we touched on a little bit earlier, but these guys, the Maple Leafs, have to execute a game plan for a full 60 minutes. I mean, they played well this year, but on far too many occasions, they've given up points because of a lack of execution. They all know what to do out there. They know how to play the game. It's a matter of executing it and doing it for 60 minutes. Number two, you got to play the clock and the score. I mean, understanding that untimely pinches and joining a rush from the defenseman at inappropriate times can be very costly to your team. We saw that happen last game. Zaitsev jumps up. They're winning 3-0. An ill-advised jump up leads to a goal by New Jersey. Ultimately, that started the comeback and they end up losing the game. And finally, you've got to be aware of one of the greatest scorers in the NHL when he's on the ice. Alexander Ovechkin needs special attention every time he's on the ice. Be ready to support and even double-team him all night long. He's far too good, Gord, to put the responsibility on just one player's shoulders to shut him down. It will take a collective team effort when it comes to containing this superstar tonight.
Yeah, certainly, as you talk about the keys to victory tonight, and, you know, you look at it, and Alexander Ovechkin, his phenomenal streak as far as the points he's got against the Toronto Maple Leafs, I mean, he's number one. I mean, that's number one of any particular opponent
that way. Steven Stamkos was up there. Eric Staal was up there. You name it, all kinds of guys like that were, but nobody's had more success than Alexander Ovechkin.
He's got a bit of a streak right now, too. He has 4 goals and an assist during his 3-game point streak, so he's got some game in him right now. We have got a special guest. I can't believe he's here.
Former broadcaster Mark Osborne, and now scout with the Los Angeles Kings, Mark Osborne, joining us here. Ozzy, you're critiquing the show. Is that, we appreciate your call earlier.
Yeah, absolutely, Gord. I tuned into you guys right at the top of the hour, 5 o'clock, on my way in, and thought the audio was just a little bit off, and thought I'd call in, and glad that we've got it all taken care of, so it's good to be here.
Well, it's good. I saw your thing, your call waiting, as I was on the phone back to the stadium. Yeah, we had a few glitches there after the Marty game.
We're just testing out the new high-definition system.
I think Chad Johnson, the goaltender, may wonder what exactly we get the setup is here. 2 guys on the phone.
Well, you know what? Much like players are often kept on their toes, right? During the course of a season, you don't know if you're a healthy scratch or not. And I find it's my responsibility to keep you guys on your game. And so that was the purpose of just stopping in and offering a little bit of advice.
Well, I appreciate your LA Kings are going well, too.
They're okay. Okay, Gord. You know, when your minor league goaltender, Peter Budaj, who, by the way, his sweaters are all sold out at the Hockey Hall of Fame, which you did mention.
He's been fantastic.
I mean, 11-6-1 for an American League goaltender to come up and be able to do that, you know, with some banged-up players. You know, we're staying afloat, so to speak.
Well, we appreciate you keeping on our toes. We'll keep you on your toes, too, okay, if that's okay, Oz?
Yeah, that's great. Okay. And I appreciate this time that you gave me. I didn't expect this, but nonetheless, it was...
Former legendary broadcaster Mark Osborne, now scout with the LA Kings. Anyway, Ozzy's successor, Todd Olushko, and myself, Gord Stelic, will be back at the intermission right after for Leafs Nation postgame as well. We're going to turn it over to Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph. They'll have all the play-by-play of tonight's action as well as the Washington Capitals get set to take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. You all set?
I'm all set. Let's get this going.
Okay.